Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. I am going to play for you an interview from about a week ago where Steve Dace, the number one talk radio host in Iowa, interviewed me about a number of current events. And I have to play this tape because I think I might be tied up at the moment. Actually, I'm not sure where I will be when this airs. I have a sentencing, as you may have heard if you tuned into yesterday's Bob Inyart Live show. I have a sentencing scheduled for this afternoon in Colorado Springs, where a judge will decide whether or not to send me to jail, along with another member of American Right to Life, and in fact, another member, Brian Inyart, who's one of my brothers. Brian and about a dozen of us were involved in a protest at Focus on the Family in the fall because Dr. Dobson was still playing, and he is to this very day. Focus on the Family is playing a pledge that Dr. Dobson made before God. He invoked God's name, and he made a promise, a pledge, and he has broken that oath. And Focus on the Family admits in writing, they admit verbally, they've admitted on the air that Dr. Dobson has violated that oath, yet they continue to play the pledge on a video in their Welcome Center and occasionally on the radio. And it is a mockery of God to make a promise, make a pledge, and invoke heaven, invoke God's name, and then to break that pledge. That right there is a sin. It's dishonoring to God. It's an insult. It's a mockery. But then to add insult to injury to the Lord, Focus on the Family continues to play the pledge in which Dr. Dobson said to hundreds of thousands of Christians in Washington, D.C., for as long as God lets me live on this earth, I will never vote for a candidate who's willing to kill a single innocent child. He was referring to exceptions for protection for unborn children. If a candidate has any exceptions, Dr. Dobson told the pro-life crowd at the March for Life at Washington, D.C., that he would never vote for such a candidate for as long as God lets him live on this earth. The crowd erupted in applause. And Dr. Dobson then in the fall said that he would vote for John McCain, who has enough exceptions to fill a school bus of dead children every day. And so, therefore, Dr. Dobson broke his pledge, the oath he took invoking God's name. So that's wrong. That's not what a Christian leader should do. That's a sin. But it's an ongoing mockery to continue to play that video of that pledge as a PR piece. Because it gives a spin. It tells donors this is the kind of commitment that Dr. James Dobson has to the Lord and to the innocent, to the unborn. People get excited. I've gone there. I've watched the video. You come out of the Welcome Center and you go right into the bookstore. And my wife Cheryl and I, we spent over $100. We're excited. We want to support Dr. Dobson and Focus on the Family. So this mockery of God by breaking that righteous pledge that he made and then breaking it and mocking God by continuing to use it as a PR piece or as a fundraising tool is just such a devastating insult to Christianity, to the gospel, to God. And so we went there to ask Focus on the Family to take down that pledge, and we went peacefully. We were arrested. We said we'd like to speak to someone. We didn't say who, anyone. And we'd like you guys to take down that pledge. And they had us arrested. And so we had a jury trial May 8th. It went very well. The operation was a success, except for the patient died. And we now, today, are being sentenced. Other cases have been resolved already with plea bargains and the such. And so three of us went to trial, Ken Scott, Bob Inyart, and Brian Inyart. And Brian had arranged an agreement with the city attorney that the most he could get is probation and a fine. So Ken Scott and I are looking at possible jail time, and a Focus on the Family attorney had told the court that they expect that they'll have someone at sentencing today to address the judge on our sentencing. So tune in tomorrow or to future shows to find out what happened, or check on our website, kgov.com. But right now I'd like to go and have us listen to the interview that Steve Dace did with me in Des Moines, Iowa, on the number one talk radio show in Iowa just about 10 days ago.
Whether you're a liberal or a conservative, if you've got principles, he's got your back. But mushy, lukewarm moderates, he spits them out of his mouth. It's Dace in the Afternoon on News Radio 1040 WHO.
Still to come, we'll go inside politics as we do each week on Dace in the Afternoon with Craig Robinson of the IowaRepublican.com. Jen's going to be here next hour because she's got the story on a college trying to practice a little on-campus censorship, except this time it's not Christianity or the Republican Party they want to get rid of, but instead they don't want to allow a college Democrat chapter to open up. That's an interesting turn of events compared to what we've normally seen in this politically correct era, so we'll get to that later on. But joining us now on our WHO Radio Newsmaker line from Denver, where he hosts a talk radio show out there each day on a 50,000-watt blowtorch. He's also with American Right to Life. Bob Enyard is our guest. Bob, good to have you back on Dace in the Afternoon, brother. How you been?
Steve, it's an honor to be on your show. Been doing great.
All right. And obviously, the pro-life community, of which your organization is a part, has been a buzz and on the defensive. Once George, the man that had earned the nickname the Killer Tiller, was gunned down while passing out church bulletins, ushering at his ELCA church in Wichita on Sunday. I guess the first thing I would ask, we're talking about a man here who admitted in his own writings he had killed over 60,000 babies, ran one of only three clinics, like if you want to call it that. How about abortion mills? He ran one of only three abortion mills in America remaining that executed babies after 21 weeks. And even our Planned Parenthood in Iowa had been sending him, they said in the news yesterday, clients for over the last 20 years. On the other hand, clearly what Scott Roeder did was he broke the law. Clearly he committed murder. So a lot of the pro-life community, Bob, is struggling how to articulate this, and they're on the defensive in the media. Where do you guys come down on it?
American Right to Life does not condone the murder of George Tiller, but we are thankful that he will never kill another child. Steve, the world doesn't grieve or moan when a terrorist gets killed. If a mafia hitman gets killed, people don't grieve. They realize that what Jesus said is true. When Jesus Christ said in Matthew 26 that those who live by violence perish by violence, you know, that's just true. And when there is widespread injustice like slavery, the Holocaust, and abortion, these things undermine the tranquility that societies desire. And, you know, even the perpetrators, the ones who owned the slaves and the ones who killed the Jews and the ones who slaughtered these innocent children, they want to live with peace and tranquility. But violence begets violence, and these crimes against humanity bring about predictable eruptions of violence. It was murder. It was wrong. But it was predictable.
In the view of American Right to Life, should Scott Roeder be prosecuted for first-degree murder to the fullest extent of the law?
Yes. Yes. On our website at AmericanRightToLife.org, we have an abortion vigilantism worksheet. And we go through the biblical principles. And, Steve, it's one of the most fascinating documents published in the pro-life movement. It shows how God gives us the right to defend ourselves, to use up to lethal force. If you find a child in the park who's about to be killed by a criminal, you're allowed to defend that child. God gives you that authority, even the obligation, and you could, if necessary, kill that person. Yet at the same time, God has withheld the authority for individuals to become vigilantes and to execute justice on their own. when they're in disagreement with their government. And these principles flow through the Bible. For example, King David. Steve, you remember that Saul wanted to kill King David?
Well, I do. If polling data is correct, the vast majority of Americans not only don't remember, they have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay. Well, in the Hebrew Scriptures, the first king in Israel was Saul, and he was a murderer, and he was trying to kill King David. And God had already anointed David that he would be the next king in Israel, and David ended up with his sword over Saul while Saul was sleeping. And David could have been a vigilante. He could have killed Saul because Saul was a murderer and intent on murder, but he didn't. And the Bible says that God loved David. David was a man after God's own heart, and David respected the authority, structure of authority that God had laid out. So even if we might want to go and execute a rapist who's gotten away with it, we do not have that authority. And God, in his wisdom, has withheld that authority from the general public.
There's also a scene where Saul is using the bathroom.
Yeah.
And he can't get much more vulnerable than that, I'm guessing. and David withstands the temptation to do the vigilante thing again, which you just described.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it turns out that there are two factors that weigh into this issue of self-defense. And by the way, self-defense includes defending your neighbor. So we understand that. But there are two factors.
Because you're supposed to love your neighbor as you would love yourself.
That's right.
Okay.
But the two factors are imminency. There has to be irreversible, imminent harm that's about to be committed. And the second factor has to be an escalation of force. And God deals with these through the principles in God's word that we have in this vigilante worksheet. And so let's say the government does not execute a convicted murderer, and I'm upset about it. I don't have the authority to go and execute him. God has never granted that authority, because that kind of authority would lead to anarchy. And so let's say that somebody's going to commit a crime, and they're going to commit it in the next few minutes. I have greater authority to try to stop that crime than if they're going to commit it tomorrow or next year or in 10 years from now.
Then, Bob, talk about them. We're talking to Bob Benyard from American Right to Life. You can go to their website. It's AmericanRightToLife.org. Talk about how that doesn't apply. Talk about the application between what you just described. Yes. And what would have happened if, said, Scott Roeder would have rolled in on George Tiller at his clinic as he was about to perform another post-21 weeks abortion and committed the same act?
Okay, let's say my true desire is not to be judge, jury, and executioner. Say my true desire is self-defense, to mm-hmm. defend a child who's about to be killed. Well, Steve, I've been a part of the rescue movement, and I have personally gone to abortion clinics and through peaceful, nonviolent means, stopped all the abortions scheduled for that day. And pro-lifers, now we don't like the trade-off, because if you do that today, they'll put you in jail for quite a few years.
Mm-hmm.
But 50,000 arrests were made in the pro-life movement in the late 80s, early 90s. Steve, we dwarfed the civil rights movement. The civil rights movement had about 10,000 civil disobedience arrests. We Christians, moms, dads, grandparents, we had 50,000 arrests, and we saved thousands of babies. We know how to use nonviolence and be creative and stop all abortions on a given day. And we have the authority to do that. It is just, it is moral, it is peaceful. But that's not what those who killed these different abortionists, like David Gunn and Bernard Slepian, their goal was to judge these people for being murderers. And so if they wanted to save the baby right then and there, they could have. But it wasn't an imminent instance of self-defense, because God expects us to use an escalation of force. And I could be very creative and peaceful and stop all the abortions at a clinic on any given day. But let's say I was in China, to answer your question directly. What if the abortionist is about to kill my child? Let's say I'm in China, and they're restraining me, and I have a friend that this has happened to, Xu Yanzhou. They killed her baby within her womb in China, and she's now here in America and a member of American Right to Life. But if I was restrained in an abortion clinic procedure room in China, I would have every right from God to use force, including lethal force, to stop that murder and to defend my child. So, Steve, there are two factors. There's imminency. It has to be imminent. And we have to use an escalation of force. And so if I can go to an abortion clinic and use a peaceful technique, like even a sit-in, or there's so many things that pro-lifers did over the years that literally shut down the abortion clinic without violence, I would have every right to do those things.
Bob Deaver's our guest. You can go to Bob Deaver. That's my pastor. Bob Enyart's our guest. He was on 2 weeks ago. He is with American Right to Life. We got too many Bobs around here. If you want to visit their website, it's AmericanRightToLife.org, AmericanRightToLife.org. Bob, I have to get to a break, but I know there's a few other questions our audience probably would like me to ask you. Can you hold on for a few minutes?
Sure thing.
We'll come back and ask those questions of Bob when we return. 4:39 on Dace in the Afternoon on a WHO Radio Newsmaker line from American Right to Life. Go to the website, AmericanRightToLife.org. Bob Enyart is with us. He also does a talk show. He's the host of out there on a big 50,000-watt blowtorch out there in Denver. And, Bob, people can listen to your show online, right?
Yeah, but, Steve, why would they when they could listen to yours all day?
Because you might be one of the few people that's more offensive than me, Bob, and people shouldn't try to miss out on that.
Steve, you crack me up. You are bar none the best talk show host in the country.
Or the one that gets away with the most, or the other.
The spots that you produce, they're just tremendous.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for all that. And we're online at KGOV, KGOV.com.
KGOV.com. All right, I want to get your take. And I don't want to prejudice. Is that even a word? It is now. I don't want to bias the question by telling you up front what I thought about it. So overall, I'm sure you got the various press releases across the spectrum of pro-life leadership that I also received yesterday.
Yeah.
Responding to the murder of George the Killer Tiller. What was your overall thoughts or the thoughts of American Right to Life on what you saw from your peers?
A little bit sickening. All they could do was fall all over themselves with sympathy for this mass murderer, and for those who are close to him who also support his slaughter of children. You know, when a terrorist falls, we don't celebrate, we don't rejoice when the wicked die. If people go to hell, we don't rejoice. But we don't grieve and mourn when Nazis and Al-Qaeda are killed. And so this was a crime. This was wrong. This leads to lawlessness. But this is a mass murderer, and if a mafia boss got killed, people wouldn't celebrate. Well, maybe his victims would, but they would think, you know what? You're running that crowd. Jesus was right. You live by the sword, you die by the sword.
One of the statements that I really didn't understand was the one that Tony Perkins at Family Research Council sent out. And when I looked at the email, it looked like his ink might have been smeared from all the crocodile tears that had been shed as he was constructing this. And I understand that we have, as a movement right now, we have a lot of momentum, which is ironic given the president that just got elected.
Right.
But, I mean, the Gallup poll shows for the first time in American in history since they've been doing this poll, more Americans are pro-life than they are pro-abortion.
Right.
I think the overall consciousness on this issue is higher than it has been. And in some respects, you might have Mr. Obama to thank for that in some small part because of some of his policies and some of his flippant remarks like, that's above my pay grade. So I understand that we appear to have some momentum now. Let's not allow something like this to be used by the liberals in the media to try to thwart that. And I understand that. And I'm okay with that to a point. But some of the defensiveness, some of these press releases, I guess I would have titled them, "Oh, by the way, I didn't beat my wife last night," if I would have written
them
myself.
Steve, you are so right. In fact, here we have a show with a liberal and a conservative host, two hosts. And the liberal who's pro-abortion, he's the former Denver prosecutor, Craig Silverman, he went on the air and he said, you guys must not believe it's really murder. Because if you believed it's murder and that this guy was a mass murderer, you wouldn't be grieving. You'd be thankful that he's dead. And you know what? He makes a great point. If during World War II, if we found out that Himmler was killed, would we have grieved? We wouldn't have grieved.
No.
And so the way that American Right to Life has stated this from the first moment is that we do not condone the murder of George Tiller, but we are thankful that he will never again kill another child.
Bob Benyard from American Right to Life is our guest here on Dace in the Afternoon on News Radio 1040 WHO. Let me get your take on some of the interesting contrasts or hypocrisies, both from the right and also from the left, on some of the reaction to the story, if I could. Let's start from the left. For years, for decades now, people like you and I, Bob, have been lectured to by the enlightened on the left that our racial iniquity, our financial iniquity, our educational iniquity is what is the cause of crime, not criminals. People are not
all the crime is our fault.
That's
right.
Right.
Exactly.
We're not. People aren't responsible for their actions as much as they are products of the system. Therefore, could we not turn this around on them and say, when there is lawlessness in a society, when judges rule from the bench, trumping whole elections, when there is no rule of law, where there is no justice, to borrow your phrase, there is no peace. So while we certainly don't condone the methods of Scott Roeder, maybe he's a victim. Maybe society created him.
Well, hey, the liberals will say that about the jihadists.
That's right.
Right.
We're responsible with our ham-fisted foreign policy for those 3,000 deaths at the two towers back on 9/11. So maybe we created Scott Roeder. Since we wouldn't defend the moral law, we created our own little quasi-vigilant Bernard Goldberg slash John Brown right here in Wichita, Kansas.
Yeah, and another reason why you're my favorite talk to your host, Steve. They're absolutely brilliant point. The liberals are hypocrites. For example, this is how disingenuous they are. If I were a liberal, if I was a liar like the average politician, I would say, well, I am personally opposed to killing abortionists, but who am I to impose my morality on other people?
Right.
That's what I would say if I were a liberal, because they lie. They use euphemisms for murder. If I were a liberal, I would say, this was not a murder. This is just a very late-term abortion.
Or Scott Roeder was pro-choice here.
Yeah,
right? I mean, he's pro-choice, and he made the choice that this guy should die. It would be better for him if this life did not live. So he's just pro-choice, and who are we? I mean, listen, I kind of think killing other people's wrong, but who am I to impose my morality on poor Scott Roeder?
Exactly. But I am not a liberal. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. So if I'm not honest, if I don't have integrity, if I lie, then I could be condemned by the standard that he revealed. But I have an obligation to integrity. So I can't lie and use a euphemism. And even though this guy killed one of my enemies, if you kill children for a business, you're my enemy. And this vigilante, he killed one of my enemies. But I will not defend his action because it was wrong. It leads us to lawlessness.
This last election, some of our very pro-life leaders, for instance, the founder of National Right to Life, endorsed for president, I think his name is James White, endorsed for president a man who, after his alleged pro-life conversion in Massachusetts, signed into law $50 copay elective taxpayer-funded abortions.
Yeah.
Tony Perkins continues to call that man, Mr. Romney, a, quote, friend of the pro-family movement, unquote. We bent over backwards to elect a man who said, yeah, I believe life begins at conception, but if there's gold in them embryonic hills, we can slaughter it anyway.
Yeah.
And I'm interested to hear now that this is just a heinous murderer, yet we worked tirelessly, some of these people did, to elect politicians who, if we had put them in the White House for 4 to 8 years, would have seen babies killed a number that would have dwarfed the 60,000-plus George Tiller killed. And when I asked Tom Minnery these kinds of questions, he says, well, Steve, we're trying to save as many as we possibly can. Well, you know, you're actually helping to get elected politicians who will kill far more babies than George Tiller ever did. Explain that one to me, Bob, because I don't understand it.
Well, it's hypocrisy. When Ann Coulter and National Right to Life, when they say that we oppose violence in the name of the pro-life movement, they're lying because they support people like Mitt Romney. They support, as long as there's an R after their name.
And they're a walking printing press of money, apparently. The moral law doesn't apply to them, apparently.
Yeah, and so they will support someone who says they're pro-life but advocates killing any number of children in supposedly for the goal of a pro-life victory. That is supporting pro-life violence. And so we need to be consistent and be against the vigilante and against the politician who says, well, I only want to kill 30,000 kids a year. That's it. That's my limit.
That's good. I mean, I mean, the Democrat might kill 65, so I guess we're saving 35,000 there, right?
Right, exactly.
It's like redeeming coupons. We're just redeeming babies here.
Yeah. Hey, Steve, do you remember the Jewish teenager? This was back in 1938. His parents were murdered in Germany, and he was in France. So he got a gun, and he went into the German embassy in Paris, and he killed the first German he saw, who was a Nazi diplomat, Ernst von Rath. And the German people were so outraged, that's what empowered them to pull off the Kristallnacht, the Night of the Broken Glass. And they murdered 91 Jews overnight. They arrested 30,000. They torched hundreds of synagogues, and they destroyed thousands of Jewish shops and homes. And so there's a case where a kid, you know, did something wrong. He was outraged. There was moral outrage because of official slaughter of the innocent. And he went, and he took the law into his own hands. And then what should have happened was a recognition that what he did was wrong, but there was a true injustice that enraged him. But that's not what happened. And in America, people are using this as a weapon against those who are fighting for the life of the innocent.
And we have turned not the babies that they are vanquishing, but rather their vanquishers into the victims in this country.
Exactly.
Bob Benyart.
Like Bill O'Reilly being blamed for this because he admits that George Tiller is a baby killer.
Yeah.
And what's weird about that is Bill O'Reilly is pro-choice.
Mm-hmm.
He just says that the women need to be more responsible and get the abortion sooner.
Yeah.
Bizarre.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, that makes it a little bit better, I suppose.
Right. Kill your children younger.
Yeah. Well, these are certainly interesting times, my friend. We'll do this again, I'm sure, okay?
Thank you, Steve.
All right, take care. Bob Benyart from American Right to Life. Go to their website. AmericanRightToLife.org. More Dace in the Afternoon in a moment.
Thanks for listening to that Des Moines, Iowa interview by Steve Dace of Bob Benyart. And I am in Colorado Springs right now finding out whether a judge is sending me and other members of American Right to Life to jail for our Dobson Pledge protest in the fall. Tune in to tomorrow's show to find out more. Also, Maranatha in Arvada, what a great school. And please help out Bob Benyart Live over the next weeks at kgov.com.